when someone says, hey, I listened to this show on podcasting and it's helped me take my podcasting to the next level. You should listen. Or they share your show somewhere where they in their community that they are a part of. That's what it's really about, community more than anything. You have to build your community. You have to build your audience.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of POP, the podcast on podcasting. It's your friend and your host, Adam A. Adams. And today we are with Mimi, the motivator. That's Jumia Wells Palmer. Thank you for jumping on the show. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm fabulous.
Well, you better be because you're the motivator. And if you weren't fabulous, you would let us all down and we wouldn't be motivated. Right?
That's right. Otherwise, what I say on those days is that I'm better than good and better than most. I stole that from Les Brown. So it'll trick me into thinking that I feel good.
So you've done a few things. So you are the modern day master teacher, a dynamic speaker, you're a coach. You help empower people to create life and business that they desire. You've done so many different things. Your podcast is called Get High on Motivation. Getting high is wonderful, especially when it's on motivation. So you've got a mission to educate, inspire, and equip your audience, your listener, your perfect avatar, to be able to self-educate and have holistic health and a lot of other cool things. So I'm stoked. And this is where I really want to dive in with you today on this podcast, is I want you to share one, two, or even three main takeaways specific to a newer podcaster. So I gave a bit of your background, a bit of your bio. So I want to dive right into the podcast episode. What is maybe one, two, or three things that a new podcaster must do, has to do in order to be successful?
Thank you. That's a great question. Well, my top three is one, you have to be yourself. Two, know your audience. And three, already have an idea of what the frequency of your episodes are going to be.
Okay, so be yourself. Why is that so important to be yourself?
Because all the other people are already taken, most importantly. But very often when people start out in any type of media something, they have an idea of who they want to be like. The people that they like on social media, the people they've seen on TV, heard on radio, other podcasters. And they try to take parts of those people's personalities and create this avatar, if you will. When the best avatar is just simply being your authentic self, the person you are when nobody's looking.
So it's tough because I think I struggle with this and I could be projecting on the listener, but I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say we all struggle with being open and authentic and vulnerable to the core, especially when we're on camera. So what are some ways, maybe this is just selfish for me only, and hopefully a listener is like, ah, I'm so glad he asked that question. What are some ways of being okay with being you to the core? I noticed that you have green hair.
I do.
And I'm sure that's you to the core. And I don't know what, I have my hair trimmed up because I want to look sharp. And it's like, crap, is that really me? Or is that me trying to project and be whatever? I want crisp, clean hair and all this, like as I just got it cut yesterday. I wouldn't dare have my hair green because then somebody would judge me and I don't want to be judged. So I'm sure it goes a lot deeper than all of this, but just let's think about if the listener is struggling with that or doesn't know how to do that, what have you seen or done that's helped you to just be, hey, take it or leave it?
Well, I have to say that we all are scared of being ourselves. I don't think anybody is exempt. And even the people who seem like they're big and bold, they're scared too. I was afraid to do this green hair. I had green hair maybe almost 15 years ago. And of course, I was called crazy thin because it was not a thing. Now it's a thing. But even now, I was afraid to dye my locks green for a while because of what you said. I was afraid of how people were going to judge me because I have to show up in other spaces besides podcasting. You know, I serve in multiple leadership roles in volunteer organizations. And I was like, they're not going to take me seriously. I teach workshops and courses, and I was definitely feeling like my participants are not going to take me seriously if I have green hair. But then I had to remember, first of all, I am not my hair, and we have to figure out who we really are. You said a very key word. You said vulnerable. If you want your audience to trust you, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. Vulnerability trust is a thing that I learned in management years ago. And for some reason, they don't teach it in real life, but it's something that we need to apply to every relationship, personal relationships, professional relationships, and the relationship with our audience. You have to be willing to be vulnerable with your audience in order for them to trust you. People no longer just buy into ideas just for the heck of it. People want to know what you do, why you do it, and how you do it. But most importantly, why? And that's where you get to be vulnerable. And in that vulnerability and sharing who you really are and sharing your personal experiences or your personal perspective on the subject at hand allows people to connect with you. And that's what you really want. You want to connect with your audience. They can't connect with a machine. They can't connect with a character. They can connect with a person, though.
I really like the way that you said that. And it's making me think of a few things. And here you are saying, like, if you want to connect with them, you've got to let them know your why. And I wonder, like, if it's an interview style episode, is there a way that you do that when you're interviewing somebody else on your show to share your why with your listener? Or is it only when you're doing like your own show by yourself?
Well, first, I want to say don't interview anyone. Have conversations. It will make it a whole lot easier if you have a conversation with your guest versus interviewing them. Because interviewing puts you like on opposite sides of a table or opposite sides of a fence, possibly. But if you're having a conversation, it feels more like an open space. It even feels safer for both you and the person that you have as a guest. You also have an opportunity to reveal your true self when you're responding to your guest, even in the questions that you ask. Because you can ask some very, what I call pink questions, you know, like people who look through pink or rose-colored glasses. Or you can have some very deep-gutted questions that lets your listeners know and your guests know that I'm a real person and we need some real answers because we have real people listening. And that's what I always consider, is that there are real people listening that have real problems. And guess what? I'm a real person too, and I have real problems. So I don't pretend that I don't have problems. Yes, I'm Mimi the Motivator, but I still have life. And so I let my listeners in sometimes on even my personal experiences so they can know, hey, we're in this thing together. It's not just me. I'm on one side of the mic and you're on the other, or I'm on one side of the camera and you're on the other. No, we're in a relationship, and you have to consider that. Being in a relationship, in any relationship, you want to know the real person, and the person wants to know the real you.
Yeah, that cuts deep. I love it. I love it. I've got so many thoughts on this part. You said that the three major things, I've got them as being yourself was the first one, knowing your audience was the second one, and then identifying like how many ahead of time, how many episodes per week or per month, like whatever that cadence would be.
Yes.
But as on this topic of being yourself, there's this fine line, or at least it feels like that for me, where Adam Adams is supposed to be the podcasting expert. Mm-hmm. And so I need to be the podcasting expert. And they say, fake it till you make it. And act as if. And mm-hmm. So here I am. I need to be the podcast expert. I need to know everything about podcasting, or else maybe my listener won't trust me anymore. Maybe they won't trust me because I let them down because they thought that I knew it all, but I really don't. And so it's scary to agree that, hey, you should hire my company, but I don't know everything. So it's like, How do you navigate the water of being honest and vulnerable and maybe letting your listener down or losing out on business because of it?
When you're being vulnerable, people tend to trust you more. And who do you want to do business with? Someone that you trust or someone who just says nice things? Everyone can see through that. And if you say, hey, I'm learning because this is an ever-changing business, it's an ever-growing monster, and I'm growing with it. So what I can do is I can commit to continuously growing with it and continuously learning the information, learning the tools, so that way I can serve you best. That's being vulnerable, because the person who knows the most knows that they know nothing at all. And if you can get to that part, then you're going to be way beyond everybody else anyway. Being a know-it-all doesn't really serve you as much as you think it does. Being an expert means that you have failed some. And that's where you can be vulnerable. Well, I've tried this, and none of this stuff works. So what I'm going to recommend to you is to do this.
Yeah.
Okay? That's where the vulnerability comes in. It's not saying that I don't know what I'm doing. It says that I messed up enough to know what I'm doing and that I'm willing to continue to do so, just so that way I can serve you the best. So that way you don't have to mess up. So you don't have to trip and fall. I'll go trip and fall for you, learn the lesson, and come back and bring the lesson to you.
Jeez, we could end the episode right now. We're done. That was it. That was great. I learned enough. Okay, goodbye, guys. I want to move into the second thing that you mentioned, which was knowing your audience. So I agree with you. I think knowing your audience is one of the most critical pieces of being a good podcaster. I really feel like you can't be well-known, you can't add value unless you start there. But I really want to hear your perspective on what it is to know your audience and how to know your audience better. So I'm going to write these down for me so I don't forget them. I can't write it down. My keyboard doesn't work. What it is to know your audience, how to know your audience better, and what to do after you know your audience are the three things that I'm thinking in my head.
Okay, so let's try to break this down. How do you know your audience? Let's start there. Very often we have in our mind who we want to be our ideal listener or our ideal client, ideal audience, but there's somebody else already listening. And you need to pay attention to that. So if you are an Instagrammer and you have a business account, you can always go into your Instagram account, check your analytics and see who's listening. See if it's male, more male or more female, or if it's even. See where they're listening from, what ages. You really need to know what demographic is already listening to you. Whose attention do you already have, and build upon that? I know when I started out, I know who I wanted to talk to. But I also know who's actually listening. And you have to balance in between that. That doesn't mean that you can't still go after your target listener, but also know who is already listening and don't write them off. So make sure that you include them. And the other thing would be just really identifying your message for your audience. What is the pain? What is the problem of your audience? Because if you don't know their pain or their problem or the pleasure that they are seeking, how are you going to fulfill the need? As entrepreneurs, you're literally just a problem solver. As a podcaster, you're a problem solver or you are a pleasure giver. So what is the pleasure or what is the pain? We have to identify that so that way we can speak to it. And that way you're not just randomly babbling on the microphone.
I like the way that you speak of all this stuff. It's profound. It's real. It's authentic. It's deep, and it hits home. I love when you speak about this. And here you are talking about like their pleasure, their pain, what they're looking for, what they're wanting to run away from. And is there like a tip or trick or strategy that can help me identify my listener or other podcaster to identify who is listening or to understand truly and deeply what is that pain? Because it's such an important piece is we got to be problem solvers. We have to be able to speak their language. We need to let them know that we understand them and that we know what they're going through and then solve that problem. But how do you do that in your podcast? And or how should I do that on this podcast?
So I do it in a multitude of ways. I'm not afraid to ask my listeners, what do you want to hear about? What do you want to talk about? Use your avenues of social media. If you are, if you do email, social blast, whatever it is the way that you communicate with your listener in between episodes or before you get started recording. Ask, have conversations, see what people are talking about. If you have a certain area of expertise, go to those Facebook groups, go to where those people are and see what they're talking about. See what they're complaining about, most importantly, because if you know what they're complaining about, then you need to broadcast about. And yeah, you can come back to those same groups and say, hey, I have a show for you, and put the link in the comments and boom, magic. There's you always asked, a way.
And I delivered. Here it is. Here's
I'm going to tell you another way really quick that I host live workshops, and very often I'll host free stuff. Like it's more like a conversation. It's market research, honestly. So where they are coming to get some free information, it's really an information exchange is what they don't know. They're going to get the information that I have to provide for them, but somewhere in there, I'm going to get the information that I'm looking for. That's when you can really get to the nitty gritty of what it is that you need to be talking about. So that way your listeners will continue to come back and they will tell somebody about you. That's what's most important, is converting your listeners into little billboards. You want them to tell people. You want them to be the commercial. That's bigger than a Facebook ad. When someone says, hey, I listened to this show on podcasting and it's helped me take my podcasting to the next level, you should listen. Or they share your show somewhere where they in their community that they are a part of. That's what it's really about, community more than anything. You have to build your community. You have to build your audience and not want a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am relationship with your audience. You have to nurture the relationship. It can't just be I put out an episode and you need to listen. What happens in between that? What do you do to nurture the relationship with your audience in between that? Or what are you willing to do is what is needing to be considered. And everybody has their own thing that they can do, whatever is your strong suit. Some people can hop on YouTube and do some YouTube videos in between, and that can continue the relationship. Sending them an email, sending them a freebie, inviting them to the next thing that you have going on. But make sure that it is a continued relationship. That's what's really, really important. Find out who you're talking to, what you need to talk about. Talk about it and see what else that they need. Continue to ask. Make it a way for them to even get the information to you. You can't just put the ask out there and don't say, well, hey, send me a DM and let me know what you think. Let them know. You have to give them specific directions. Don't think that they just know, because they don't.
I think it's really important that we ask the right people. And I'm trying to, one of the tips that I got from you is that you need to really make it easy and clear how they're going to give you that information. You mentioned also that you host these like free workshops where it's more of a dialogue with and an open communication with like your audience, and you're pouring into them. But at the same time, you're learning about them. You're learning what you need to know to be able to be more effective as a podcast host and add value to the right people. As you promote this and you get those people to attend, what ways have you found work the best to get that listener to engage with you on that live workshop so that you can actually identify their pain points?
So typically in a workshop, I will first provide some type of information of value for them. And from that, I open up the conversation, not Q&A, because Q&A is a little different sometimes and people are afraid to ask questions. So what you can do is ask them a question, pose them a question that gets the conversation started. That's all you have to do, is once you get someone talking, they'll spill the beans. And then if there's multiple participants, what one participant says sparks another. It's like a synergistic experience that can happen, and you just be ready to take notes.
So the way that I think about this, what you're saying makes me feel like more intimate amount of people in that meeting would be better. Correct me if there's another way to look at it, but I'm thinking, oh, if it's like four or five people, that would make a lot of sense there. But how many people are usually on the calls when you're doing these? And how many do you think we should have when we're doing the same?
If I do something where it is interactive, I try to keep the numbers around 20. I try not to go too far over that. So that way people do have an opportunity to participate. Understand everybody want voice. You know, a lot of us meet on Zoom these days. So that's where you engage that chat box. Even on a YouTube video, use that chat box because some people are willing to type. They may not be willing to speak. They may not be willing to send you a private message. They may not be willing to raise their hand in a workshop, but they're willing to type something. They're willing to send you a private message. And you just have to make yourself accessible in a sense. I think that's what's most important is making yourself appear to be open to what they want to say. Make them feel safe. In a sense,
yeah.
to be vulnerable. And that's where we go back to that vulnerability trust. If you're vulnerable, it makes them comfortable in being vulnerable. But you can't just be the leader sitting on top of a podium pointing your finger. But if you pull up a chair and sit next to them, then they're willing to have a conversation.
Yeah. Let's move on to that third point that you mentioned that, a new podcaster needs to know and do and implement in order to be successful with this thing called podcasting. And that was understanding kind of like a beginning with the end in mind on,
yes.
on the cadence. What do you mean by that? And is there a minimum amount that, in your opinion, that we ought to be doing once a week, 5 times a week, 10 times a week, whatever it is? Is there kind of like a minimum for that? Or how do we think about that cadence?
There's definitely not a minimum. Typically recommend people to start with once a month because I don't believe that's a lot of pressure. There's a lot more that goes into recording one episode than one can believe. I have a 30-minute show, and for that 30-minute show, it typically requires me about 3 to 4 hours of work.
How so? Where do you put your time and effort if it 30-minute show? And some people, it takes way more. Like mm-hmm. they do a 15-minute one, it takes them like 2 days, or some people, they might say that a 1 hour episode takes 1 to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
With you, I'm curious, you're doing a 15-30 minute episode and it's going to take you 4 or 5 hours. Where does that time go?
The time is mostly in the preparation and the planning. Preparation and planning are key in this. Practicing with your equipment instead of having the glitch at recording time, because that has happened to me way too many times. So if I can tell you anything, it's practice, practice, practice. Prepare, 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 plan, plan, plan. Know what you're going to talk about. Have some notes. Even if you never look at the notes, have them just in case you draw a blank. If you are preparing for a guest, that whole reaching out to them, confirming, reminding, if you have to have a pre-conversation, whatever it is that needs to go into you recording a great show, because the greatness happens before you hit the record button. And then the second part of the greatness happens after you hit the record button and you're done, because you have to edit. You have to market, most importantly, because if you have a great product and nobody knows about it, what good is it? But if you have a horrible show and you market the mess out of it, you're going to have listeners.
Yeah.
So true. You have to put some time in on the front and the back end. It's not just showing up to the microphone and hitting record. It's even warming up your voice, making sure that you have water close by, you know, just all these different things, making sure that notifications are muted. Nobody's going to knock on the door. If there's people in your house, you're letting them know, listen, don't bother me for the next hour. But there is a lot of preparation that has to be in place. And what I recommend is have a checklist. The checklist will save you tremendously.
Yeah. What are a few things that are on your checklist, Mimi?
So a few things on my checklist is I have to breathe. That's at the top of my list. Is I have to breathe, and it's at the bottom of my list again. So that way, before I hit the record button, I breathe again. So that way I'm relaxed. Because if you're tense, you sound tense. You can't even think clearly and freely because you're tense. Something else, like I said, the water. I have to have the water. I have a notebook that is just for podcasting that I put my podcasting notes in. So I make sure that it's there. It's handy. If there is something additional that I want to share and that I didn't want to write down in my notebook, I have that handy. Sometimes I definitely recommend having a backup recording device, even if it's just your cell phone. So that way, in case something goes wrong on the one software application that you're using or whatever you want to call it, you have a backup because you might have recorded a great show and your microphone was muted. It happens. It happens to everybody. And you have to be ready for that. Like you said, beginning with the end in mind, knowing what kind of product that you want to put out there. And if you don't care, then hey, don't put any time into preparing and planning. Mm-hmm. But if you care about the presentation, if you care about your listeners returning, then you're going to want to put more time in on the front end. And part of that is deciding the cadence as well.
I think it's important, like when you mentioned, we're talking about the cadence, how frequently to put these episodes out. And you mentioned you want your listener to return to the podcast, to come back, to listen to multiple episodes. With that in mind, I feel, and I could be wrong, I feel like the minimum that you'd want to have a podcast airing is like once a week, like every Monday, because then your listener knows when to return. And you mentioned maybe even doing once a month. To me, I'm thinking if I was trying to listen to a podcast that was only once a month, like I'll probably find a different podcast. I'll probably check it out, say this was badass. I'm so glad that I heard it. And where's the next one? Okay, nothing. I'll try back next week. Still nothing. I'm just going to look for another podcast. And then once I find one, does weekly or five times a week or whatever, I'm probably going to get stuck into it like I am on a Netflix series. And I'm like so glad that I can keep watching that next episode and not have to wait a whole month for the next one. I feel like that month, it's like having a long distance relationship. And maybe Mimi's good at long distance relationships. I wouldn't do it. Yes. I wouldn't be willing to do it. I'd be like, I need to see you on a regular basis. I'm just going to find somebody else. I'm just going to listen to another podcast. So I'm really curious to kind of understand your thoughts on that. Where is that fine line? Where is that balance between? And do you still feel like if it's just once a month, that's enough for your listener?
I believe that if you feel like it's once a month for your listener, it's really about what can you commit to. That's what's most important. You don't want to overcommit because I've seen that happen. People think they can support a weekly show, but they a lot of times have like a full-time job and cannot support the weekly show. So then they have to dial back. You don't want to dial back. You want to dial up. When I first started, I think I did bi-weekly shows. And then I increased it to weekly shows because I saw that I could support the two a month. So I was like, well, let me roll into every week. And at this point, I would love to roll into more than that because I enjoy it so much. And because my listeners are like, hey, I want more. And then that's a great cue right there when your listeners are asking for more. But not everybody is an avid podcast listener. I don't even listen to podcasts. And so if I do, I listen to certain podcasts. And if you have something that's that valuable to you, you'll tune in for that once a month. And if nothing else, you have a notification that will go off and let you know, hey, it's time to tune in again. But if you are going to go that far, you better be sure that it is valuable, that it is entertaining, it is engaging to make people thirsty for more. That's what's most important, is making people thirsty for more. So they're like, whenever he's back, whenever she's back, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, cool. I like that. That's interesting. I do have two final questions that are just short. Really curious just to understand what your original goal was with your podcast. And now that you've been experiencing it for a while, where do you now see that you want to get this ultimately? And it could be anything about monetization, audience size, what happens with your business, whatever, who you have as a guest. So what did you originally hope for? What was your original plan? And then on the back end, like now that you've done it, where do you want to take this?
Fabulous question. I had no intentions of having a podcast. I was scheduled to have a radio show that was going live. And on our launch date to go live, we did all this marketing. The producer and I were locked out of the studio. And I turned to him and I said, this will never happen again. I bought podcasting equipment. I want to say, what is it, like the Prime Monday came about or something. I took advantage of all those Prime deals. I went and got me a Blue Yeti microphone because I did some homework and it was the best at the time. I know better now.
I'm so glad you said
yes,
that.
I totally know better now, but you live and you learn. Got my fancy headphones. I got all this stuff. And ironically, about a month or so later, my producer moved to Oregon. So I became a one-woman team. I became the engineer, the editor, the everything. And my original goal was to have this radio show. I'm in Colorado Springs. That's why it's Get High on Motivation. And part of what I wanted to do was some cannabis education as well, because it is such a untouched subject and it's a scary subject for a lot of people. And there are such a stigma surrounding it. But most importantly, there's a lot of ignorance surrounding it. And I wanted to be able to break through that in addition to what I was doing. But the truth is that before it was a radio show, before it was a podcast, it was supposed to be a cooking show. What's cooking with Mimi? And so now that is the end goal. What's cooking with Mimi? What's Cooking with Mimi was a show where I would interview people from different walks of life who make at least over a certain amount of income so people can know what is available. You don't have to be a doctor, a lawyer, somebody that we see on television. There's other fields out there. So one, to bring that awareness. Second, to inspire people, to educate people, and to teach them how to make a healthy meal in 30 minutes or less. That was the goal. And so that now has returned to being the goal.
Okay, good stuff. Well, Mimi, thank you for jumping on. Your podcast, Get High on Motivation, is already in the show notes. So the listener can literally just scroll down and check it out. And I ask this frequently to our listener, if they resonate with you and they want to check out your show, if they do that and just listen to one or two episodes of your show, and I hope that they'll leave you an honest written rating and review, just what they think about your show and the value that you're providing. And on top of that, if they can see like any pros or cons in the show that can help support you, I know you're open to that, so that they should throw that in. And if you're listening now and you're going to do this, I'd be honored if you would let her know that you heard about her on our show. With that said, be more than grateful if you took the time to rate and review our show just by giving an honest rating, whatever you think that we deserve, and written review of anything that you're looking to get out of this. If I can help you with your podcast, if I can help you just grow it, to scale it, do all the post-production for you, or just help you launch it, please reach out to me. Go to growyourshow.com and schedule a call with me. Mimi, the motivator, thanks for jumping on. I'm going to let you go. That was awesome talking about being yourself. I got more details on that than any time somebody's been on our show and we've ever talking about knowing your audience. You went deep, and I love the part where you said you should be asking your audience. You should be interviewing your audience. You should be talking to your audience. What the heck do you know if you're not asking them? So that's a huge point. Talking about the cadence and that big takeaway of, look, maybe once a week or twice a week or 15 times a week is best, but you can only commit to what you can commit to long term. You can always scale up. It's not usually a good idea to scale down. Lots of good stuff. And now we're all going to have green hair because we listened to this podcast. All right, my friend. Thank you for jumping on. I really appreciate it. You had a lot of value. It was fun having you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I'd love to come back, and I'll see you all soon.
You can definitely come back. And that's a wrap.
This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.